Please be seated. We're doing things a little bit out of order that's been printed in the bulletin, so because we wanted to accommodate our guests this morning and get all their flags received. So who's what groups are represented here? We've got guides over here, yes? First Burlington, right? 65th Burlington Pathfinders. So I do this every time you come, and I said, one day I'll get it right. First Burlington Guides, 65th Pathfinders. And what do we got over here? 20th Burlington. And that's the Scouts, or Cubs and Beavers and everything all included, right? Everything in red and white, okay. How come you're not red and white? You're special. Okay, that's okay. You can be special. Well, we welcome you to here this morning, and thank you for your continued support. I know we're going to have some of you reading for us this morning, and I want to thank you for that as well. And I know that Burl Gorey, where are you, Burl? Oh, there you are. She's all dressed in her guide colors. A couple of years ago, Burl shared a poem that she had, and we've asked her to come up and do that again today and share a special poem about Girl Guides. Thank you, Burl. So come on up and share that now.
Dug it out of the archives. If I can lend a helping hand whenever there's need, and be a friend to everyone, no matter what their creed, if I can laugh and sing and wear a smile upon my face, and do my very best to make the world a brighter place. If I can find a dwelling place in God's great out of doors, with blue sky for my ceiling and green grass for my floors, with nature all around me and companions by my side, where friendship has a meaning and peace and love abide. If I can lead a noble life and keep my ideals high, and live in steadfast faith in God, and look up to the sky, where I can find the strength I need to help in my deciding, to do what I believe is right, then this, to me, is guiding.
Thank you, Burl. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Now, as the sort of final part of this reception of flags and greeting of our guests, we traditionally sing O Canada and God Save Our Gracious Queen, so we'll do that now. Please rise.
Good morning. Welcome to our visitors. If you could please sign the guest book at the back of the church, it would be much appreciated. Just a couple of announcements for some things that are coming up. You're reminded that this Wednesday is our joint Ash Wednesday service. It will be held here at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March the 1st. Where did February go? Also, March the 5th, next Sunday, is our annual meeting. It will start immediately after the service, and it will be held here in the sanctuary. I was reminded that there is no Sunday school today, so if the kids could just stay in the church, and that the fellowship today is provided by the scouts and the guides, and also the Needham family. Jack? Happy 80th.
I had one further announcement to make that unfortunately after the service today I got a skedaddle like I did a couple of weeks ago because as many of the members here know, I'm also the minister sort of in transit for another congregation, and today is their annual meeting, so I need to get up to Carloop this morning right following our service. So I'm full of annual meetings the last couple of weeks, so oh joy, oh bliss. That's all we have for announcements this morning. Let's just take a moment to prepare our hearts as we enter our worship time. Now, as I've mentioned over the last few weeks, and I want to mention again today, we light this white candle on Sundays as a Christ candle. And it is the same idea, the white candle, that we light at Christmas time. So through the weeks of Advent, we have four different candles that we light, two different colors that are there. And on Christmas Eve, we light the center candle, which is the Christ candle, the white one. We do that again on Sundays here to remind us of the gift that Christmas has been, and certainly that Christ is with us this morning in service. So we light the Christ candle as a reminder that Christ came for all of us as a gift, and that Christ is with us this morning as we gather in worship.
The call to worship is in your bulletin. To all who are imprisoned, to all who are living in darkness, to all who hunger and thirst, to all who are far away, our first hymn this morning is hymn number 399.
Thank you.
morning we're going to be reading in our gospel about using a lantern. And a lantern can do two things. It can let people know where we are. So you can see, if you've been up at a cottage or something and you see a light across the lake, you can see that light pretty far away and you know where you are. But it also does, it shows us the way to go. When we're stepping out, it gives a little bit of light so we can see what's around us and we can not trip and fall. We can see where we're going. The idea of our prayer that's coming up now, which is our prayer of adoration and confession and followed with the Lord's Prayer, is that it's to shine a light for us in the way that we've been walking over, say, the course of the last little while. We thank God for the many things that God is blessing us with always in our lives. We have this prayer of confession where we say, you know what? I didn't really use that light properly, and I maybe stepped out of line from where I should have been walking, and I tripped and stumbled, and I don't want to do that again, so I'm sorry. So let's bow our heads in prayer as we come before God now with our prayers of adoration, confession, followed with the Lord's Prayer. God of majesty and might, you've blessed us truly with the revelations of your glory. You give us a gift of faith, and we can hear your voice. We can feel your spirit move as we sang this morning. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day, little things, air to breathe, light to be able to see and warm ourselves with and under the sun, and homes to live in and food to eat. There is very much, if we sit back and think for a moment, that you give us so much. Glorious God, you are all wisdom and truly a lamp for our feet. And Lord, there are times when we turn that light off. There are times when we don't want to really pay attention. There's times, Lord, when we step away off the path that you ask us to follow. Times, maybe, Lord, when we say something we shouldn't. Times, Lord, maybe when we should say something and we keep quiet. Times, Lord, when we maybe behave in an anger manner towards someone. Lord, there's times when we do little things that can trip us up greatly. But your light shows us the way to go. So forgive us, Lord. Heal us and continue to lead us that we can walk in your way and be happy with your being right beside you as we go through our days. We confess these things to you, Lord, and we repent. That means we turn around and we go a different direction now. We follow you. Lord, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and we now pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the gospel, and gospel means good news. This is the good news of our faith, and it is this. If we call upon God, we will be answered and we will be forgiven because of the sacrifice that Christ gave and the victory that he won at Easter. That promise gives us peace and joy. So we thank God, for we all are forgiven. Amen. This morning I wanted to share a song with you, and it's a song that I have done in the past, and we had a concert here a couple of years ago now, and I sang it at that concert, and it's a special song. We can probably turn this headset mic off, and I'll try and talk into this one as best I can. I sing this song because it's a special one to me, because very often when we're new at something or we're a child, we are pretty excited about certain things. And we think of an example of that might be Christmas. We get quite excited before Christmas happens. Well, some of us do, I suppose. We're sitting up late building toys for gifts, and sometimes that tends to be a bit of a struggle. But when we're children, we really look forward to those new events. I've been playing guitar for a long time now. I was going to say how many years, but we'll just leave it at a long time. And it's a bit easier for me to play now than it was when I first started. You know, when we see something, we do something that's brand new, there's a certain amount of excitement attached to that. And when I say about playing, And those of you who play instruments, there's a couple behind me here. For the first time when you're playing something in front of people, there's that nervousness that goes on. If you have to get up and do a public speech or get up and talk to a group of people for the first time, you might be pretty nervous. That nervousness is because it's new. It's something that we get afraid of, I suppose. It's built into it. But it's also something that generates an excitement in our lives. Very often when we do things a lot and keep doing it all the time, we lose the excitement side of it. We can lose that sometimes if we're at a church or if we're at wherever we may be, because we do it all the time, and now it's just kind of boring. This song is reflecting on that and saying, I wish I could get back to the beginning again, but you know what? I really don't. I just need to have that newness in my mind. Had the faith of a little child, truth and love and honesty were part of my lifestyle. The trees were green and the sky was blue, and I loved everything. And all day long I'd think about the songs that I would sing. Those were the days when I loved my Savior so. My faith was plain and simple, and it was fun to watch it grow. Why, I'd walk out along the lake shore, drawing crosses in the sand. I'd dream of loving Jesus and holding His hand. Now if I were a kid again, you know I'd do things differently. As far as holding on to love goes, growing up peacefully. Somehow down along the years, everything got turned around. Someone stole away my first love, left me upside down. Those were the days when I loved my Savior so. My faith was plain and simple, and it was fun to watch it grow. Why, I'd walk out along the lake shore, drawing crosses in the sand. And I'd dream of loving Jesus and holding His hand. No, I'll never be a kid again, but the faith of that little child can well up deep inside of me and take over my lifestyle. Take me back to my first love and love the one who loved me first. Let Him satisfy my hunger and quench my thirst. Those were the days when I loved my Savior so. My faith was plain and simple, and it was fun to watch it grow. Why, I'd walk out along the lake shore, drawing crosses in the sand, and dream of loving Jesus and holding His hand. Why, I'd walk out along the lake shore, drawing fishes in the sand. I'd dream of loving Jesus, and I'm holding His hand. Join together now in our next hymn, our children's hymn, Father, I Adore You. And we have the Sunday school kids are here this morning, so we're going to have them come forward as we sing verse 2 of that song. So 292, Father, I Adore You. couple of you coming up. That's good this morning. And maybe some more. They're thinking about it. That's okay. Every Sunday, I get this box out. Hi, buddy. You want to come over? You going to come with me? Or are you going to stay and play with the keys? You can do that. That's okay. Every Sunday, we get this box out. And what's on the front of it? It's pretty easy. What's on the front of that? It's a butterfly. And we're going to be talking a little bit about butterflies today because there's something very special about butterflies. Oh, we got more coming. Come on in, guys. If you come and sit down, I'll give you something neat. That might work. Inside the butterfly box, we always have a little activity that we do from week to week, don't we? So we have one in this box today. And you've seen these before. What's that on top? Another butterfly, that's right. And do you know what the stick is? It's a glow stick, that's right. But it's not glowing. No, I think if I do this, see, it's still not glowing, see? Looking. What do I have to do? Make it glow. Glow! I have to bend it?
Yeah.
I got to bend it. Can you bend that for me? You see this? Hey, buddy, can you bend that for me? Can you do that? Isn't that? Yeah, it smells nice too, I bet. Yeah, that's good. You know what happens? Look what happens if we bend this. Look. Oh, look at that. If we bend it. Told ya, that's right. If we bend it, it gets, here's a big word for grown-ups later on, it's transformed. It transformed into something else. And why? Do you know why that happens? Any ideas why that happens? There's two liquids inside here. One of them is inside a piece of glass. And when we bend it, we can hear it snap. You can all try one if you want. Here, you take one and you can bend that. Listen, when you bend it, listen to it, okay? What do you hear? What do you hear? Bend it. Yeah. Well, it's hard to do, isn't it? Yeah, you got it. What are you hearing?
I got it.
Yeah, what do you hear? Here, I'll help you. What do you hear? You hear things snapping, don't you? You got a good job there. Yeah. It gets transformed into something brand new. That's because the two liquids inside. Oh, now you're coming up. Now. Here you go, kiddo. The two liquids inside mix. Did I give you one? Did you get one of these already? He's got it? Here you go, buddy. Here, look, I'll break it for you. Look at that. It's glowing too. There you go. It transforms into something that glows and gives a bright light. We can have one for the little baby too. There you go. It's transformed. God wants to transform us. But we have to bend a little bit sometimes. Keep that in mind for later. We have to bend sometimes in order to have that happen. So we need to ask God to transform us into something that's... What's a butterfly before it was a butterfly? Any idea? Before a butterfly is a butterfly, what is it? Do you know? Hard question. Do you know? Caterpillar. I didn't hear it down here, so that's good too. Caterpillar. It changes from a bug that crawls on the ground to something that flies and looks very pretty. So we've gone to transform our lives just the same way. How about we have a little prayer together? Let's all join hands. Come on. You going to join us over here or are you going to walk about? Come on over here. Oh, you're going to walk about. Okay, that's fine. Let's just say a little prayer and you repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love that changes us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, now you can sit down, but I'm going to ask you to come back up in a few minutes to help me with another project, okay? All right, let's sing the last verse of our hymn, seated. Father, I adore you. And I think it's Spirit, I adore you this time. Going to be reading scripture now, and before we do that, I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer to ask God to help us hear his word and learn from that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, our light, make us attentive to your word as a lamp shining in a dark place, that lamp we've looked at already this morning, that seeing your truth we may live faithful lives until that great day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from your Psalters that you have in your pews. It's Psalm number 2. And that's going to be read to us, or led responsively for us this morning by Kim Friday.
Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and the Lord's anointed, saying, the one who sits in the heavens laughs and has them in derision. Then God will speak to them in wrath and terrifying them in fury, saying, I will tell of God's decree. The Lord said to me, now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Humble yourselves before the Lord, lest God be angry and you perish in the way, for God's wrath is quickly kindled.
Thank you, Kim. Our Old Testament reading today is in your pew Bibles. It's found on page 70. It's taken from Exodus 24, beginning at verse 12. And this morning reading for us this section is Aaron Riley. Where are you, Aaron?
The Lord said to Moses, come up to the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the laws and the commandments which I have written for their instruction. So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whomever has a dispute may go to them. Then Moses went up the hill onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called out to Moses of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up onto the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Thank you very much. Good job. Yeah. Our next reading is taken, the New Testament reading is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. That's on page 236 of the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And Cora Leach is going to read that for us this morning. And company. Yeah, that's okay. That's what here, you stand on this side and I'll hold this mic for you. Oh, good job. Here we go. There we go.
For we did not follow cleverly disguised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message for fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will. But men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
Thank you, Cora. Very good. Thank you. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. It's the story of Jesus on the mountain himself. It's on page 18 in the New Testament part, and Mallory Jagger is going to be reading that for us this morning. Thank you.
Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Thank you, Mallory. Now, I know we don't do this on normal Sunday mornings, but we do it when we have our guests reading. Let's just give them a round of applause because they did a really good job. As I said earlier, it's difficult when you're not up speaking lots of times in front of people, and you have to get up and suddenly read a bunch of big words and all that sort of stuff. So you guys did a very good job. Thank you so much for your help in that regard. We'll join together now in our next hymn. This is hymn number 350, "To God Be the Glory." once was a man who went to his doctor and expressed the following concern. "Doc, I'm really worried. Every time I drink coffee, I get a stabbing pain in my eye. Do you really think it's very serious?" And the doctor replied, "No, just take the spoon out before you drink." You may not have a spoon that's blinding you and causing pain, but there are times in our lives when we can only see things from one perspective and we get locked into the way things are. We can't see it any other way. We can't see the obvious problem of the spoon sticking out of the cup. We form our opinions this way. Sometimes we really do need to get outside of ourselves to see things from a new vantage point. We need to change. We need to be transformed. You ever hear that phrase, a mountaintop experience? So-and-so had a mountaintop experience when they lived through or saw or experienced such and such. Often that experience is used when someone goes through something very tough in their life and they have a life-changing experience. This phrase is directly referencing what has happened in Jesus' case, in the gospel we're reading, and also to Moses on Mount Sinai. They changed. They had a high mountaintop experience. Both of Moses and Jesus were changed forever. As we consider this morning, let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. God, we pray that all the distractions and other things that may be on our minds that we brought with us this morning, that we can put those aside for a minute, and we can focus on what you have for us this day. We always have lots of busy stuff taking place before we get to church on a Sunday morning, and you know, there's getting dressed, there's getting ready, there's getting in the car, there's what's going to happen this afternoon, what's going to happen this evening, and let's just try to put all that aside. Help us to do that, Lord, so that we can take a moment to hear your voice. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, I have to talk about church calendar. And I'm talking about church calendar because it sounds like it might be different church calendar than the sort of calendar that we have, but they do mesh a little bit. But there's some things that happen in the calendar of events that take place in the church. And I'm using church not to mean this building. I mean church with a big C. So the church, all churches. And one of the things that takes place is Christmas. We know about Christmas. That's on all our calendars. We know about Easter. That happens, and that's on our calendars. Those are events that take place in the church calendar. We know about, this church especially, we know about Advent. And I mentioned Advent when I talked about the Christ candle this morning and how we have four Sundays before Christmas Eve where we light some candles, special candles, hope, joy, love, and peace. And they all represent something special. This week coming, we're having an Ash Wednesday service, and that begins a period of time called Lent. And Lent comes before Easter, as Advent comes before Christmas. But this Sunday is something very special in the church calendar. It's called Transfiguration Sunday, big word. How many kids have we got left here? I want to have a couple of them come up so they can help me. Can you guys come on up? I need some help. And you guys want to come up and give me some help, or you want to stay there for now? You want to give me some help? Okay, you can think about it. You guys want to come up? You two, I know, will help me. Transfiguration is a big word, and in church calendar, we have lots of big words. Sometimes we use words like, come on up, guys. We use words like Advent, and we use words like Lent. Well, one thing that happens on Transfiguration Sunday that we've never done here before at this church, but we do remember it on Easter. Yeah, have a seat. Just have a seat for a minute. Something we do at Easter, Sunday morning, you'll find very often I will say, "He is risen," and you say back? Right. Yeah, you're good. You guys are paying attention a little bit. It's taken a couple of years. But something that that's happened for many years, what's this word? Can you read that word? Can you read that word? Hey, can you read this word? Yeah? Can you read that word? Can you guys read that word? Right. We're going to talk about what that means, that word, in a minute. But there's a ceremony that takes place on Transfiguration Sunday, and historically, we bury or put away Hallelujah. We hide Hallelujah. Because during Lent, we're thinking about other things at the moment. We're getting ready to be quiet. We're getting ready for prayer. And we put Hallelujah away. And we're going to put it, see this? It's an Easter hat. It's an Easter hat box. And we're going to hide Hallelujah in there. So when I ask you guys, where's Hallelujah? Where are you going to point to? That's right. We're going to put it right here for this Sunday for now. So Alleluia is put away. Alleluia is put away for all of Lent. We'll bring it back out at Easter time when we say, He is risen. That's right, when we get ready for that. You guys can help me with it. Where's Alleluia, guys? Where is it? Yeah, yeah. Remember that, because it may not be here next Sunday. I might put it somewhere else, because we're hiding it, remember? You got to find it for me, okay? Every Sunday, we're looking for Alleluia. Alleluia means, anybody know? Praise the Lord. I think I heard somebody say that. Praise the Lord. It means hallelujah. Yah is God's name in Hebrew. So we're not saying praise the Lord for now because we're getting ready for the cross event that's going to take place very, very soon. But today we're also talking about Transfiguration Sunday. Now what did I say Transfiguration meant? Do you remember when we did the butterfly thing? It means something changes, right? Okay, I need you guys to help me hold some pictures up. Let's see. I got two pictures here I want you to hold for me. If I can separate them out. There we go. You can hold that one. You guys can hold that one up together. Stand up and hold it up so everybody can see it. Show the choir too, because they don't get the advantage of seeing all the good stuff. What is that? Hold it up nice and high. What is that? Caterpillar. Very good. What's this? It's a tadpole. That's right. You guys are supposed to hold it up for me. Yeah. Now, what does this become? You know? A butterfly. I think I have a picture of one. You can hold that up for me too. A monarch butterfly in particular. There you go. You can hold that for me now. Show that to the choir too, because you know they won't learn if you don't show them. And what's the tadpole turn into? What's the tadpole turn into? Oh, well, you hold the frog up for everybody to see. Show the choir, because we want to make sure the choir sees it too. Very good, Lacey. Good job. So we have tadpoles turn into frogs and caterpillars turn into butterflies. Now, I want to ask you a question. This is for everybody. Does the caterpillar just grow wings?
No.
Does he just grow wings?
No.
What happens?
It turns into a chrysalis.
It turns into a chrysalis, that's right. Out of the chrysalis. It's a whole different thing, isn't it? A really good example is this tadpole. Does a tadpole, does it just grow legs?
No.
What happens to the tadpole? Where does it live? Where does the tadpole
live? It
lives in the water. All the time?
Yeah.
Yep. What about the frog? Where does he live?
In the
water. He lives in the water, but does he live in the water all the time?
No.
What's the difference between them? Do you know? And one difference in particular?
It stays in the water all
the time. Now, if he stays in the water all the time, how does he breathe? Gills, very good. Not there, smarter than they look. But does a frog have gills? No, because a frog breathes air, doesn't he? So that's a really good example. The frog just doesn't grow legs. He's a completely different creature. He's transformed entirely into something brand new. I'll take those back for a moment then. Thank you very much for holding those for me. You guys want to sit over here? Now? Yeah? Transformations take place in all different ways. Here's one here. I'm going to show the choir nice and close. You see what happens in that transformation? It's a small picture, I realize, so I will explain it to you. We have somebody holding up two fingers like a peace symbol, and they transforms into a bunny. See? Something completely different. That's doing with art and how that might change. We transform in different ways. Something I'm going to say here, and I'm going to say at the very end. Listen to this. Metamorphosis is transformation. The word transformation that's used in the Bible comes from the word metamorpho in Greek, and we get the word metamorphosis from that. It means to be changed, something different. Metamorphosis is more than growing something new. I'll say it one more time. Metamorphosis is more than growing something new, it's becoming something new. Metamorphosis is more than growing something new, it's becoming something new. Just like the tadpole, just like the caterpillar, they don't grow new limbs, they become completely different creatures. When Jesus went up on the mountain, something transformed him. He went through a metamorphosis. He had a mountaintop experience. He became something new. Because it's from that point on in the Gospel of Matthew, in the story of Jesus' life, from that point forward, he now starts telling the disciples and talking to the disciples, and at the very end of his speech, in fact, of this particular story, he says that to them, "Tell no one about the vision that you've had here until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Now, we know about the raising of the dead because we've got a Bible and we can read ahead. And we can read the story because we know what's going to come. But the disciples didn't know that. It's from this point forward that Jesus starts talking about Easter. He starts talking about Good Friday. The disciples really don't fully clue in entirely. Not until afterwards when they look back, like we can do. A mountaintop experience. It was a wonderful experience, sort of. Remember when I talked about playing music, and entertaining, and standing up in front of people, and you get really nervous, and you get scared? The disciples were so excited, they got so scared because of that excitement, they fell on the ground. That's what the story tells us. And Jesus said, "Get up. You don't have to do that. Get up." And what did Peter want to do? Remember in that reading? What did Peter want to do in that reading? Peter wanted to build tabernacles. Another big fancy word. He wanted to put up some tents, basically. You know, this was so exciting. I want to build 3 tents. One for you, one for you, one for you. We're going to stay here forever. Wow. Jesus said, "You don't need to do that. This is a mountaintop experience. It's going to come to an end." You know, my children have grown up listening to me tell stories. I tell stories all the time, don't I? And if you know me at all, you know I've always got a little story about something that's taken place. In fact, I shared one with the choir before we came out here this morning. I used to tell stories to my kids when they were little about all the fun I had at work. My previous job. I have fun now too, but my previous job in particular. I told my kids about the mini golf course that I set up in our office. And we'd get masking tape balls and use them for golf balls. And, you know, during the day we would hit the golf ball around and we'd have all the holes all through the whole office complex. I told them stories about playing jokes on each other. I told them stories about how fun it was to be at work. You know the downside to that is? My kids think work is fun. And when they're working, they're realizing it isn't so much fun. See, I told them about the mountaintop experiences. I told them about those days when it's great. But you know what? What's work? What is a job? It's work. Doesn't matter what the job is, right? All you people who've had jobs or are currently in jobs, there's work involved. It's not always playing golf, and it's not always playing jokes, and it's not always having a mountaintop experience. They do exist. You can't build tents and stay there all day because the work won't get done. And Jesus knew there was work ahead for him and the disciples. Some very serious work. They could enjoy the moment while it was there, when Moses and Elijah joined them. They could enjoy the moment when they were very excited, but they had to come down off the mountain and get the serious work done. Transfiguration Sunday is about the change that takes place, particularly in Jesus, how he was metamorphosis took place in his life, how he was transformed and began the real serious work walking towards the cross. And sure, he could have just stayed up on the mountain with the disciples. Sure, he could have just kept talking about, "I'm the Son of God and look at me, I'm glowing. Isn't this wonderful?" But there was work ahead too. We're moving into Lent, another big word. And I think that the period of Lent for us putting the Alleluia away, a period of time when we traditionally, historically, when we think about Lent, we think about giving something up for Lent. You hear that phrase all the time. You give up something for Lent. We don't push that quite often so much, I suppose, in Presbyterian church. But I do want us to consider that as we walk into Lent starting next Sunday. Why are we giving something up? One of the reasons that we're giving something up is so that we can think about what it is we need to transform in our life as we move towards the cross ourselves of Easter. What can we change? or what needs to be changed in our lives? What can we do better? What's God tapping you on the shoulder about right now that you could do better, that you could improve, that you could ask God to change in you? And I'm not talking about growing something new. Metamorphosis is more than growing something new. It's becoming something new. And during Lent, as we really move towards the cross, we don't want to just grow something new, change something just for the sake of change. We want to become something new. And it's the power of God's Spirit working in our lives and our openness to Christ, just as he was with the disciples, to become transformed. What is God tapping you on the shoulder about that needs to change, that needs to go through some sort of metamorphosis, a transfiguration, a reconfiguration in your life? We can't continue to always live as caterpillars in a cocoon, because we'd die if we did that. We need to let God transform us and become a butterfly, so to speak. Caterpillars, probably as they crawl on the ground, don't particularly, if they're imagining anything at all, probably aren't imagining flying. It's not something that they do. Caterpillars just crawl along leaves and eat, and they're happy with that. But when they transfigure, they go through that metamorphosis, things become very different, and then they can fly, and they are something very different. What can we do that makes us fly in God's name? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning, all the children here who've helped a little bit with the service, all of us who have come this morning, that we can consider as we move towards Easter, as we move towards the cross event, as we move through Lent, that we can think about what it is you want us to change and transform. What can we do with you, Lord, by your power, by your Spirit, that can change us into the people that you want us to be? The people who love you, walk with you all the time. How can we even do more? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God has revealed to us a law and a love that leads us into becoming God's own daughters and sons. Another transformation. Let us therefore gratefully give from that which has been first given to us, our lives, our talents, our possessions, our offerings, and our tithes. Gracious God, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us from week to week and day to day and year to year. Lord, we ask a blessing on this, our offering, that it can be used to your glory here in our church and in our community and our world at large. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. What's in here, guys? What's in here? Hallelujah. Yeah, don't forget. This moment in time is when we come before God with a wonderful opportunity that we have to offer prayers for other people. I wanted to point out that the lovely flowers we have in our sanctuary this morning are here, as it's mentioned in the bulletin. They're placed by Nancy Capstick in loving memory of her husband, Nesbitt. And these are here to remind us of people who've been in our lives and strengthening us in so many different ways. Some of them have gone on to a better world in so many ways, to be with God, and we remember them with flowers. I'm going to ask, as we bow our heads in prayer in a moment, I want you to think of somebody in your life that needs prayer, somebody that's in trouble, somebody that needs something. They may not be feeling well. And we're going to take a moment when I ask. We're all going to whisper that name very quietly. Instead of just thinking about it, we're actually going to whisper it. And you don't have to say it loud, but I just want you to put some sound around it, just quietly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, we thank you that you've revealed your love and guidance for us both on Mount Sinai with Moses and on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. You give us a vision of how to change and how to be trusting you in everything that goes on in our lives. Lord, we know that every one of us here this morning has somebody that we can think of that is in need, somebody that needs a word of prayer, somebody that needs some help, somebody that needs healing, somebody that maybe needs an extra meal, somebody that needs a job. The list goes on. So Lord, this morning we take a moment and we think of those names. And Lord, we offer them up in a whisper to you. The quietest voice, Lord, the very thoughts in our minds, you know all these, you hear them. We thank you that these names have been offered this morning. There's a lot of people here this morning. So there's a lot of prayers that have been asked. There's a lot of other people. So we've doubled our size almost here, Lord, for needs. We know that you honor these prayers. Lord, we thank you that you are a lamp to our feet, that your Spirit guides us, and that you hear the prayers of your people. We thank you, and we offer all of these prayers and these names that we've offered this morning in Christ's mighty name. Amen. We join together now in our final hymn this morning, number 434, For the Beauty of the Earth, 434. that transformation that needs to take place is not only in us. We are challenged by God to transform the world in which we live. So this week, consider that as well. How can we transform the world in which we live as Christian believers? And now may the God of light be with you, Son of light be with you, and the Spirit of light guide you in all ways. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Which one do we want to do first? Far one, that's the last one we received, isn't it? Is that the guides? Thank you, Bob. Here you go. You can just move down there and you can line up a little bit while we get ready.